Well, at the start of this new year, I thought, given the readings from the lectionary this morning, I thought there were two things to talk about. One was the need for humility. The shepherds humbled themselves, and then they left praising and glorifying God. And the other thing that I thought about was the power of blessing. And that's indeed what I want to talk about. Because if we, I think, begin to grasp that what the power of blessing is about, then the world would see the difference. So let's pray. Father, by your Spirit, would you make your word alive to us in our hearts and in our lives, so that we might grasp more of who we are in Christ and bring the blessing which you give graciously to those around us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, number 6 is in the middle of the first big section of Numbers in the first 10 chapters. It describes Israel's preparations for leaving Mount Sinai. The people of God had been camped there for almost a year, and there they received specific instructions from God about the conduct of their lives and that which would mark them out from all the other nations around about them. And they're now to continue on their journey through the wilderness to the land of promise. This blessing in chapter 6, 22 to 27, is designated for the time of Israel's departure from Sinai, and it was to be used daily throughout their journey. It's a blessing for a journey, if you like. And notice the way Lord is written in your Bible text. You've heard me remind you of this before, but some of you may think that the poor typesetter got something wrong, but it was probably all done digitally anyway. But you'll notice that Lord is in block capitals, because it's speaking about Yahweh. This is Yahweh here, the God of Israel. The otherwise unspeakable name of God. So the Jew would not say Yahweh. They would refer to him as the Lord. And though his name was unspoken out of reverent fear, God himself is speaking through Moses with instructions for Aaron and his sons. Aaron is the high priest, and his sons are the priests who lead the worship of the people. They were God's intermediaries, charged with speaking God's word over the people every day. And we know that God's word is powerful and creative, that it achieves the purpose for which it was spoken. So to be subject to God's word spoken over us is going to be positive. I hope you would agree with that. So let's take a look. The word bless in verse 23 refers to the blessing that follows in verse 24 and 25 and 26. To bless testifies most basically to the work of God both within the community of faith and beyond it. You see, the blessing was meant to permeate to those outside. Israel was charged with being a blessing to the nations around about them by living in obedience to the commands of God. And although the blessing is given unconditionally, it's meant to evoke a response of worship to and of the one who blesses. This is Yahweh who is blessing. May the Lord bless and protect you, you read in verse 24. Blessing signifies any God-given spiritual, earthly, and bodily gift that directly or indirectly serves the life, health, and the well-being of individuals and communities. Blessing is a doing word, a verb. And that covers the spheres of creation, redemption, and fullness of life, and no conditions are attached. Blessing might be described as a characteristic of God himself, but it's also what God does. to protect or keep is a very specific blessing for those with concerns for safety. I'm sure if you were an Israelite going into this foreign territory with these big cities and things, you might be concerned a little bit about your own safety and that of your little children. But it focuses on God's sheltering the people from evil and its effects, especially pertinent to walking by faith to a promised land, a land which was known only as the promise to our forefathers. Where are we going, guys? We're walking in towards the promise of our forefathers. And the same verb occurs 6 times in Psalm 121. You may recall its beginning. I look up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, Yahweh, who made heaven and earth. And as you read that psalm, you see that God's protection covers every aspect of the day, the going out and the coming in, the lying down and the getting up. Every aspect of our day is covered by the protection of God. Verse 25, may the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. If you are familiar with this text, you've probably been listening for the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. But who has seen the face of God? We know that Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. More so than the Israelites, hearing these words for the first time, we can have some idea that the shining face of God signifies God's kindness in gracious action, for which neither Israel nor we can make any special claim. The shining face is to be contrasted with the hiding face of God, or the God who you remember hides the prophet in the cleft of a rock lest he see his face and be destroyed. This is the smiling face of God. The smiling face of God is a gracious move on God's part to those who are otherwise undeserving. The psalmist sings to God that the whole world may be brought to experience the effects of God's shining face. Let's just turn to Psalm 67. Well, I will. So we might see God's smiling face. May God be merciful and bless us. May his face smile with favour on us. May your ways be known throughout the earth, your saving power among people everywhere. May the nations praise you, O God. Yes, may all the nations praise you. Let the whole world sing for joy, because you govern the nations with justice and guide the people of the whole earth. May the nations praise you, O God. Yes, may all the nations praise you. Then the earth will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will richly bless us. Yes, God will bless us, and people all over the world will fear him. We come to verse 26. May the Lord show you his favour and give you his peace. The Lord lifting up his face or his countenance signifies a gracious movement towards us. The word peace, shalom, is the climactic word of the blessing and has wide-ranging connotations. It's a very rich in meaning word. Hebrew words go beyond the spoken pronunciation. Each Hebrew word conveys a feeling, intent, and emotion. And shalom is more than simply just peace. It's complete peace. It's a feeling of contentment, completeness, wholeness, well-being, and harmony. What a wonderful gift to receive at the outset of a new year. According to Strong's Concordance, shalom means completeness, wholeness, health, peace, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, prosperity, perfectness, fullness, rest, harmony, the absence of agitation or discord. That's a nice one, isn't it? The absence of agitation. Shalom comes from the root word shalom, meaning to be complete, perfect, and full. I'm sure most of you are full after feasting the last week. But there's a different kind of fullness, the completeness. And of course, there's only one way to find true shalom, and that is in Jesus, the word of Yahweh. Many search for fulfillment, happiness, significant contentment in material possessions, in money, in sex and entertainment and so on. But those things do nothing to restore what only God can, a relationship with Him through the person of Jesus. Those other things only serve to distract us and prevent us from finding true peace, the shalom that can only come from Him who created and put all things into place. And then we get to verse 27. Whenever Aaron and his sons bless the people of Israel in my name, I myself will bless them. I myself will bless them. That returns to the opening theme, only with greater specificity, that it is God who blesses through the words spoken by the priests. The I is emphasized in the Hebrew. And note also the promise, I will bless them. And the translation used here in the NLT and many of the other translations says, may the Lord bless you. It's completely missed the point. It takes the edge off this promise. The Hebrew is very clear. God says to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons to say this, the Lord bless you and protect you. The Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. The Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Putting God's name on the people, supremely by means of the words spoken by God himself, emphasizes that Yahweh is the source of all blessings. It's as if the people now wear God's name, and it should be worn so that all will see and believe Yahweh. So, what does it mean for us? There's a very real sense that being in Christ, believers are also on a journey to a promised land that we might otherwise call the kingdom of God. For many people around us, the only way they will ever experience this kingdom is through living our lives by the way Jesus teaches. Just like Israel, with its strange customs and practices, which were completely at odds with the practices of pagan nations, so too, much of the way disciples of Jesus are to live is counter-cultural. Disciples of Jesus don't get to wear cultural camouflage. They stand out in neon jackets as being odd, different. Whenever we act in ways that are contrary to the teaching of Jesus, we reflect, in effect, the world. We prevent others from seeing the name we wear. When our lives no longer reflect the beauty and holiness of God who blesses us, then we are unable to be the means of blessing others. Conditions to the blessing haven't changed, but we may find that we're no longer able to be the ones God uses to bless others until we ourselves are transformed. It's an ongoing process of being transformed. Philippians 1 verse 6, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. And as the Holy Spirit brings to our attention those little things that need to be transformed, and we pay attention to that, then we'll be, I believe, in a greater position to bless others. In Christ, we are all priests. Priests are given through the high priest, in our case, Jesus, who is our high priest, the power to bless. In Luke 6:27, Jesus tells us, "Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you." And if we're called to bless those who curse and hate us, would it not be good to bless others, to be a blessing like Israel was to be to those around us? We're given authority to bless in the name of Jesus, remembering that Yahweh is the source of all blessing that is afforded to us here on earth. And it may be a material or financial blessing, but as these are God's blessings to us, we need to hold both that which we are entrusted as stewards with and that which is brought into being by our praying a blessing over others. Brought into being by the sovereign hand of God. So let's not cease to act and pray daily for God to bless others. And Jesus doesn't revoke God's word that we find in the Old Testament. I know some would like to say, well, this was all Old Testament Israel stuff. But Jesus said, none of that has passed away, not even a jot, a tiny mark on a page. In fact, the tiniest mark in Hebrew was a yod, which actually signifies God himself. But all of this is now transformed and given new meaning and life. So he shows us how the word finds fulfillment and expression in the kingdom of God, which is being made evident through the life of the church by the work of the Holy Spirit in his people. So our challenge in 2017 is to invoke blessing on others in God's name. And when we hear feedback of how our prayers have been answered in the lives of non-believers, to confidently tell them that this is the face of God shining on them, then point them to Jesus. He's the way. And when it comes to talking about Jesus, his invitation is very simple. Come, follow me. So don't first invite them to church, whatever you do. Don't. Resist the temptation. Invite them to come and follow Jesus. Give them a New Testament and Psalms like this. Or give them a Mark's Gospel. Give them the story of Jesus and say, read about Jesus. Come and follow him with me. Come and talk to me about following Jesus. Priests then lead others to worship, but only after they discover the one worthy of their worship. So in this new year, let's bless others. Explain how it is that God is making his face to shine upon them and be gracious to them and to us. And then let's discover Jesus again, the one who calls us to follow him. Amen.